All right. Well, it's good to see everybody this morning, and again, welcome here. Let me ask you to take your Bibles and go ahead and turn back to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, and still in verse 1, as we continue our series on running well and finishing strong. We've looked at the need for a strong determination as we run this race. We've talked about how those who have gone before us are, the Bible calls, a great cloud of witnesses whose lives and faithfulness have borne witness to God, and how you and I carry on that legacy. And one day we will pass that on to others as we run the race and finish our course. Last week we talked about laying aside, throwing off everything that hinders us, the weights that slow us down as we try to run the Christian life. This morning I want to move on to the next phrase in Hebrews 12:1, and let's read this whole verse again. He says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance." Yours may say patience or endurance, same thing. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. The writer of this book of Hebrews is very specific when he says this. He does not say, "Let us run the race that is marked out for us." He specifically says, "Let us run with patience or perseverance or endurance the race." Why would he say that? Why would God's word caution us to run this race with patience? You have never heard in your entire life, nor will you ever hear, a coach telling a runner to run the 50-yard dash with patience. Never happen. He tells somebody in the 50-yard dash to run like his life depends on it, to run as hard, as fast as he can run, to not let up, to not slow down, to push as hard as he can without stopping until he crosses that finish line. But coaches who coach marathon runners have an entirely different strategy. They tell their runners to run with patience, to run with perseverance, to run with endurance, because they know that the race is a long race. And if a runner doesn't learn to pace himself, he'll never make it across the finish line. It's vital that as we run the Christian race, as we live the Christian life, we understand what kind of race it is. If we start out thinking it's a 50-yard dash, we're going to be in for some sore disappointment soon down the road. You know, the way I see it, Christians are either Roman candles or they're light bulbs. You've seen Roman candles. I'm sure you've shot them on July 4th, or your kids have, the little tube that you light one end. And after a few seconds, you hear, and out of the end of that tube shoots these little fireballs, these brightly colored fireballs. And man, they're exciting to watch for about 3 seconds. And they light up the sky, and everybody hollers and oohs and ahs, and hopefully the kids aren't shooting them at one another. I got hit right here with one time when I was younger, by the way, no kidding. Very dangerous, by the way, kids and adults. But, you know, some Christians are like Roman candles. They start off with a big, bright flash and making a big noise and a big event, and everybody's hooping and hollering, "Woo, look at so-and-so." But after a very short time, they've faded out. They've fizzled. And they're not doing anything for God. Well, you can be that, or you can be a light bulb. You know, there's nothing quite like having a good old 60-watt or 100-watt bulb in your room, and every time you walk in the room, you turn on the switch, there it is. Well, it's not making a big noise. It's not making splashy colors. Nobody's oohing and aahing over it, but it's doing its job faithfully day after day, and it's giving light. We talked just a few weeks ago about how so many Christians begin the race so well, but not so many finish as well. Emmett Smith holds the all-time NFL rushing record. He was never as flashy as Walter Payton or Barry Sanders, and you know, Emmett never really possessed true breakaway speed. But the one thing Emmett had was persistence. He just kept running. He wouldn't quit. It's amazing to watch the old tapes of Emmett. Even when he gets hit, his legs are still moving. He just runs and runs and runs and runs. He would never quit. And in his career, he ran for 18,355 yards, which is astounding. That's 10.5 miles. But here's the thing. While that seems impressive, one thing people rarely talk about is that Emmett Smith's average run was 4.1 yards. He was tackled and knocked down 4,409 times during his career. And yes, somebody out there is keeping up with all these statistics. I have no idea who it is. But you see, the thing is, we can look at Emmett's career beyond the finish line and look back on it and go, 18,355 yards, 10.5 miles. He beat Walter Payton's record by a long shot. And you look at that and go, wow, that is unbelievably impressive. But you see, what we're missing if we do that is all of the years, the 14 years that he played every Sunday during the football season, and he ran the ball for an average of only 4.1 yards. And he got knocked down 4,409 times. But you know what he did after every one of those tackles? He got back up, and he ran the ball again. Without endurance, a Christian will never finish the race. There'll be plenty of times in the Christian life when you and I are knocked down. The question is, are we going to get back up and run the race again? You know, I'm impressed that anybody could be knocked down more than 4,000 times and still get back up and want to run the ball again. Emmett Smith understood that it wasn't about one play or one game or even one season. It was about being persistent, being faithful, enduring year after year after year. And here's the amazing thing. His all-time NFL rushing record of 18,355 yards is nothing more than an accumulation of small runs. That's really, really important. Those 18,355 yards, 10.5 miles, are impressive, but that record is nothing more than an accumulation of small runs. And our Christian life is the sum of many little moments of faithfulness to God. There will be times when you get hit so hard you're looking through the ear hole of your helmet, so to speak, spiritually. And you feel like you've been knocked out, there's no point going on, but you see, the story of your life is not told from that one moment. No athlete's career is told from one good moment or one bad moment, but from the accumulation of their faithfulness and their endurance over the years. It's exactly the same with us. And I want to tell you, If you've walked with God long enough, you will know that there are days when you look at your life and you feel like nothing you're doing for God amounts to anything. Anybody ever feel that way? It's not just me, is it? I mean, there'll be times when you will feel like your persistence, your faithfulness, your endurance is amounting to absolutely nothing. It's making no difference. It's making no impact. It's not affecting any lives. There's no point to it whatsoever. Sunday school teachers, I want to encourage you today. You prepare your lessons week after week. You study, you put materials together, you go back and you love on those kids and you teach them Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. And there will be times in the race when you feel like nothing you're doing is making any impact whatsoever on those kids. And you get discouraged. I want to encourage you today to endure. To endure. You never know but that you will have planted a seed into one of those children's hearts that 20 years after you're gone will sprout and burst into a great harvest for the kingdom of God. You need to endure like a marathon runner. Marathon runners cannot see the finish line until the last couple of hundred feet. But they run by faith, believing that the finish line is out there, and they continue to run faithfully. Parents, moms and dads, especially you stay-at-home moms, sometimes you feel like all you ever see are dirty diapers and dirty dishes and dirty laundry. And you get bogged down in the race sometimes of life and you feel like you're making no difference. I want to encourage you to endure, to be faithful, to run the race. Parents, when you're loving and disciplining and teaching and training your children, there are times when you feel like the race will go forever and there's no reward. Be faithful. Endure. We cannot see the payoff of what we're doing right now. We must be faithful. Young people, how difficult is it today for these young people to stand against the peer pressure that's out there? Nothing like it was when I was a kid. I thought it was tough when I was a kid. Let me tell you, adults, in case you don't know, these kids have got it hard today with the peer pressure from every direction. I want to encourage you kids, run the race, be faithful, endure. Realize that this is not a sprint, it's a marathon. You will fall, you will trip, you will take a wrong turn here and there. Get up and keep running and be faithful. A life made up of thousands of little moments of faithfulness will result in a lifetime of extraordinary effectiveness for God. And I tell you, more often than not, in God's sovereignty and His wisdom, He will not let you see the results of your labor. How encouraging is this today? We all look thrilled. That's the truth. You see, most often in life, God will keep His hand over our eyes, and He will not let us see the results of our faithfulness to Him. Why? Well, I'll tell you one reason why. Because if He did, I'd be so cocky you couldn't stand to be around me. Amen. Who said that? Lee Crandall? I'm glad you're a good friend of mine. I know he means that sincerely, and that's the truth. You see, if I saw and if all of us saw all the benefits and the results and the fruits of my efforts for God, I'd have so much to brag about, I'd never quit bragging, you see? And the same is true with you. Wherever God has called you, the race that He has marked out for you to run, whatever that is, I want to tell you this morning, church, don't get discouraged because you don't see results. God, in His wisdom, will not let us see all the results of our work. And thank God He doesn't. We must press on where God has called us. We must be faithful whether we see results or not. And I'm telling you, church, that's hard. We live in a culture that has been programmed for instant results. I mean, you just go out there anywhere where there's a line. The DMV, the grocery store, the post office, the bank teller, and you will see some people getting bent out of shape because the line's not moving fast enough. I mean, you're scared these people are going to just go ballistic because we're so impatient. We want to do something for God, and then we want to stand back and say, all right, God, let's see how that turned out. Show me all the results of that. God says, no, no. You just be faithful to me if you never see a result or not. You see, here's the thing. God has not called you to results. God has called you to faithfulness. You be faithful and you leave the results in His hands. The sooner we learn that in the Christian life, the easier it will be for us to continue running this marathon. Because I'm telling you, when you don't see the results you want to see, and there's nothing wrong with wanting to see results. There's nothing wrong with wanting to see people grow in Christ and see a harvest for the kingdom of God. That's a great thing. That's a great desire. But when we don't see that as soon as we want to, it's so easy to become discouraged in the race. When our family was in Australia on the mission field many, many, many years ago, the little church that my father was pastoring heard about a Russian community some distance away, and to their knowledge, no one had ever gone and shared the gospel with those people. Well, they couldn't speak Russian. No one in my dad's church could speak Russian, but they decided that they would look around and they would find some Russian Bibles and some Russian tracts, and they planned an outreach to that village. They worked on it for months. And they raised money, and this little church raised a stack of money to buy all the Russian Bibles and tracts that they could afford. And they planned the event. They all went out there, and they just canvassed the whole village, went door to door on the street, passing out Russian Bibles and Russian tracts. And when my dad was telling me this story just a few years ago, even after all these years, you could still see how disappointed he was at the end of that day as he recalled what happened. He said, we prayed, we worked, we sacrificed, we gave, and nothing came of it. Those were his words. Nothing came of it. Well, they labored there for many more years in Australia, and then our family moved to South Africa, and we worked there for many years. Well, this is now decades later, my dad got a call to go back to Australia. They were having a special conference. They invited him to come and speak. They put it in the newspapers all over the place to invite people to come. He went back, and he spoke at this conference. And he said at the end of his message, he was standing up front greeting people, and he looked up and saw this huge man walking towards him, with the Russian hat on and very distinct Russian features. This man walked up to him and gripped his hand and shook his hand and said in a thick Russian accent, "Brother Pike, you don't know me, but I know you." He said, "Many years ago, you come to my village and give me Bible. I throw it in drawer and forget it. Then one day, trouble come into my life. I remember Bible. I take it out and I read and I read and I become Christian. Then I tell my wife and she become Christian. We tell our children and they too become Christians. Then we tell friends in the village and they become Christians too. And we start a church and I become pastor of church. And now for many years, our church is growing. People are coming to Jesus and we send missionaries all around the world. Friends, I want to tell you, We need to run the race with endurance. And when we don't see the results, we must leave it with God and say, God, that's in your hands. My job is to be faithful, to run the race. There are many things that many of us would probably love to see happen in this church. My question is, are we being faithful to what God has called us to do? Some people may think that we're not a successful church unless we can build a 5,000-seat auditorium. Are we being faithful where God has called us right now? Are we doing what God has called us to do? Are we running the race that He has asked us to run? There'll be many days in the Christian life where it takes endurance and perseverance and patience to continue running the race. And I want to tell you, never, ever underestimate the significance of simple faithfulness. It is such an understated quality in the Christian life. Faithfulness. The writer of Hebrews says, let us run with patience, with endurance, with perseverance, the race marked out for us. The outcome of the race will not be determined by what happened yesterday in your life. The outcome of the race will not be determined by something that happens today in your life. But only when the race is over and all of those thousands of little moments of faithfulness are added up will the story really be told. So many Christians, I'm afraid, stumble and fall, and at that point they just get discouraged. And they don't want to keep on running anymore. Maybe you're here today and you've stumbled in the race. And you're down. And Satan's telling you, no other Christian falls like that. Nobody else struggles like that. You just need to quit. I want to tell you, friend, you need to get up today. You need to brush yourself off and you need to run the race. Why is it that we see such incredible determination and persistence in the world of athletics everywhere we turn, and yet in the church, it seems like such a rare quality? Just late yesterday afternoon, I got a great visual illustration of this. Unfortunately, it was very painful to watch. I was out taking photographs of Nick on his skateboard, and he was hitting a jump and flying through the air and landing on another jump, and I was photographing him, and he had done it dozens of times. And he hit the jump one time and landed wrong, and I heard the sound of skin rubbing on concrete. And I'm telling you, he lost a huge chunk of skin off of his leg. It was a horrible, horrible injury. And he didn't sleep at all last night because every time he turned, you know, it was painful. But as bad as that fall was, guess what that crazy kid is going to be doing the first opportunity he gets? He's going to be on his skateboard, and he's going to be hitting that same jump again, saying, man, you're not bigger than me. I can take you. Why do we not have that persistence in the Christian life? In 2003, Lance Armstrong was riding in the Tour de France, and you know that is unbelievably grueling physical competition. They race up steep mountains through all kinds of weather. They race down these incredibly steep inclines and get up to speeds of 50 to 60 miles an hour. And it goes on day after day after day. Well, in 2003, Lance Armstrong was fighting like crazy to try to beat the famous German rider Jan Ulrich. And they were going head-to-head in this one stage, and a spectator swung a souvenir bag out in front of Lance Armstrong and hit his bike, and he just went sprawling on the road. And Lance wrote about this later, and he said as he was lying there dazed and just these blur of cyclists going past him, and he was losing time, there was a voice in his head that was screaming, "Get up, get up, get up." And he got back up and straightened his bike and climbed back on there. And he began to ride like a man possessed. He pushed on those pedals, he said, harder than he has ever pushed in his life. And he was hurting, he was in pain, and he was way behind the pack. Really, it was a physical impossibility for anybody to catch up at that point. But he rode with such fury and such focus and determination that before they crossed the finish line, not only had Lance Armstrong passed Jan Ulrich, but he beat him by 40 seconds. He rode with determination, knowing that the race was a long race and that if he fell, it wasn't over. He had to get back up and continue the race. In every area of our Christian life, church, we're going to experience setbacks as well as victories. And we need to remember this is a long race. As they say, it ain't over till it's over. Long distance runners have a phrase that they use to describe a point in the race where their body tells them that they cannot go on. You've heard it. It's called hitting the wall. For most marathon runners, they say it happens around the 18-mile mark, which, you know, I can testify to personally. That's about right for me. Normally, when I hit the 18-mile mark, I start to get a little tired, a little winded. I'm sorry, that's the 1.8-mile mark for me is what that is. But, you know, there's this phenomenon that takes place in their body physically and mentally when they hit that mark. Their body is sending them signals saying, you can't run anymore. You weren't designed for this. You need to quit. And every cell in their body is screaming at them to stop. And they call it hitting the wall because that's what they said it feels like. You just can't go on. And runners who win marathons know that they cannot listen to that voice. They have to press through and push on and persist and endure beyond that pain, beyond that hardship, if they're ever going to cross the finish line and win the trophy. And every Christian will experience points in their life where they hit the wall. Where you've run faithfully for God, you've done your part, but you reach a point in life where you just feel, I just can't go on. I can't do this anymore. I'm too tired. I can't endure. Let me ask you, what is it that's going to keep you going for God? What is it that's going to cause you to press through that point? To put aside those voices that are telling you to quit, that you can't go on. Where are you going to find the strength to endure? Well, I'm not going to answer that question until 2 weeks from today. So if you want to hear the answer, you'll need to come back. But if you want to read ahead in Hebrews, you'll find the answer in the verses there in the early part of Hebrews 12. So let me close by asking you this morning a simple question. Are you running the race with endurance? Maybe you're at a point today where you've been knocked down. You feel like the race is over. You need to get back up and you need to start running again. The race is not over by a long shot, friends. We had the privilege of going on Friday night to a basketball game at Hillcrest High School to watch Nate Smith and his team play. It was his senior year, the last game, and it was great, man. We had a blast watching the game, and you know, the game started out pretty rough for Hillcrest. They were down, I think, 22-9 at one point. And that's a bad way to start a basketball game. But you know, they played all four quarters. They never quit. They never threw in the towel. They never thought they were beat. And they weren't beat. Because they came back and they won the game. And I had the privilege of sitting up there in the stands and watching Nate Smith score the last point of the game. And we all cheered and hollered, and it was great. And what did that teach me? That taught me that even when you're down, even when it looks like you've lost, even when it looks like the game is over, even when the opposing crowd is booing and telling you to quit and you're no good, you just get out there and you run the plays and you do what you've been trained to do. And you persist. Galatians 6:9 says, "Let us not become weary in doing good. For in 5 minutes we'll reap a harvest if we do not give up." Is that what that verse says? "Let us not become weary in doing good, for by tomorrow afternoon we'll reap a harvest if we do not give up." No. Listen to what it says. "Let us not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time," or in due season, "we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." Christian friends, I want to tell you, wherever you are in life this morning, whatever stage of the race that you're at, I want to encourage you to run with endurance, to run with patience. Run with perseverance. The race isn't over. There's a long way to go. Let's pray. Father, you've called each of us who are your children to run this race of the Christian life. You've not called us to worry about certain results along the way. You've simply called us to be faithful. I pray, Father, that as you look down upon this body of believers, you would find a group of people who are running faithfully. Lord, it's important that all of us run the race that you've set before each of us, as we'll see next Sunday. That we don't try to run somebody else's race, that we don't try to imitate or copy other people, but we run our race. And I pray, Lord, that if there's anyone here today who may feel like they've taken a wrong turn in the race, that they've stumbled and fallen, or that they're just winded, they're still running, but they're just weary, I pray, Father, you'd give them a special encouragement this morning from your word. Help them to know that with you, with your power, they can endure, they can run, fixing their eyes on Jesus, and make it all the way to the finish line. In Jesus' name, amen.